the only reason I live is to worship you.
Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd just break every stronghold, Lord, anything that would hinder what you want to do with each one of our hearts this morning. Lord, I know that we need you, and we need you to be the reason that we live this morning. Father, may you transform lives. May your Holy Spirit be at work right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So I've had something on my mind a lot lately. And I guess it's kind of like us coming to understanding of kind of a self-awareness of what we need to be doing. I don't know what got us on the subject. You know, I drive every day, so I see a lot of idiots on the road. But oftentimes, the people that I see having the most road rage and acting the silliest are people that's in the wrong themselves, and they don't even realize it. Have you guys ever seen that? You know, you guys all heard the story when I was picking up stuff for our Christmas party at Greenwood Walmart, and I'm going the right way down a one-way thing, and a guy comes flying the wrong way and starts shaking his hand at me and cussing me, and it's like, I'm in the right, you're in the wrong, and he's heading the wrong way down a one-way street, and Travis, my brother-in-law, was talking about there by Target, and in that intersection, there's two lanes of traffic that turn left at Phoenix and Old Greenwood, and he was turning left, staying in his lane, and someone almost hit him, and they got so angry with him, they followed him all the way to Greenwood, just right on his tail, and kept speeding up next to him and backing up and trying to get his attention. And he had Evan with him, and he said, I just wouldn't even look, just kept driving. He said, but I was doing nothing wrong. They were in the wrong. They came into my lane, and it's just amazing to me how many people are living their lives feeling like they're right, and they could be completely wrong. Does that make sense? And so what I've had on my heart is about our need for repentance. Our real, deep, sincere need for repentance. Acts 2, I probably should have told y'all Acts 2 before I started talking, huh? And then after that, we'll be in 1 John, then after that, Luke 18. So if you just want to go flipping through. But Acts 2, I'm just going to read a couple verses here. And it says, Acts 2, verse 36, it says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. This morning, this is my plea to you. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. When I think about these verses, when I think about this, and I think how many people sit Sunday after Sunday in a church pew, how many people live their life day after day, but they've never really been cut to their heart. They've never really had a realization that I need to repent. That I'm going down the wrong way on a one-way street. That I'm at fault. That I've messed up. That I've missed the mark. You know, we live in such a society and in such a day and age where we want to be right and we think we're right even when we're wrong. You know, I remember my life of who I once was in the realization of how lost I was and the realization that I was headed straight for hell. And I was cut to my heart. But can I tell y'all something? That night that happened and I was at home and I knelt beside my bed and I weeped and I cried and I said, Jesus, forgive me. You know, I still feel that need even today. There's still a realization sometimes on a daily basis of, man, I blew it. God, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. I told y'all last week or the week before, I can't remember on Sunday morning or Sunday night, but I'd said something at work, and as soon as it came out of my mouth, I said, why did I say that? And I felt conviction. I wasn't puffed up with, oh, I'm right, and it need to be said. Whether there was truth in it or not, I had no business saying it. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His Word has no place in our lives. Church, I believe that there's many walking around today and they're looking at the murderer on death row. They're looking at the child rapist. They're looking at these evil, evil people and they're saying, I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, I cheat a little on my taxes or I just watch some movies that I shouldn't be watching. I just do these little things. I'm really okay. And there's never that moment in our heart where we come to the realization that I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need Jesus Christ. And we confess our sins. And you see what it says? And if we confess our sins, He purifies us from all unrighteousness. See, we need to be at that point in our lives where we recognize when we're lost, where we recognize where there's sin in our lives, and not just go with blinders saying, I'm okay, because I'm not as bad as this person. I'm not as bad as that person. When that person yelled at me in road rage and held up his fist, I just smiled. I'm okay. I'm a good person. You guys might not believe this, but there's going to be a lot of good people, so to speak, that go to hell. Because they never ask Jesus Christ into their heart. They've never repented of their sins because they didn't think they needed to. Because they're okay. They're okay. I'm okay. I'm not that bad a guy. God, I know some great people. Some people that really act probably even morally and even act more generous and kind than so-called Christians. But they've never come to that point in their life that they recognize that they were sinners, that they were lost, that they were headed for hell, and that they asked for forgiveness, that they confessed their sins, and they knew that they needed a Savior. Back to Luke 18. And Luke 18, verse 9, and this is what I feel like so many have become today in the church. Luke 18:9, it says, to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Can I tell y'all something? That's not a that doesn't sound like a bad guy. He's not a robber. He's not an adulterer. He's not an evildoer. He's tithing. That doesn't sound like a bad person. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The only reason I'm the man that I am today is because of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's because of what Jesus has done for me. In church, we have to be careful that we don't become arrogant, that we don't begin to look down on others and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like this person, and I'm glad I'm not like that person. But for Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that's who you would be. And we get so arrogant in our ways, and we get so arrogant, and we don't ever see fault in our life. We don't ever see the need for repentance. We don't ever see that plank in our own eye. And we're going through life, and if we're not careful, we're allowing little sins and little things to come in, and we keep going, I'm okay, I'm okay, I tithe, I give, I show up to church, I do all the churchy things. And meanwhile, Satan's at work, and he's planting things in our lives, and we don't recognize it because we've become so self-righteous, and we're getting off track. And we're getting off track, and we're getting off track, and we're getting off track. And we become so self-righteous, and we forget that we need a Savior, that we need the Holy Spirit, that we need Jesus in our lives each and every day. Jeremiah 31:19 says, after I strayed, I repented. After I came to understand, I beat my breast. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the disgrace of my youth. The tax collector seen his need for a Savior. God have mercy on me, a sinner. Sometimes I wonder how many people have come to that point in their life. God have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. That you've come to that point sometime in your life. I came to that point in my life, and I'm not going to lie to you, there's still days that I say, God help me, God forgive me. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm having these thoughts that I shouldn't have. God, I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at. God, I lusted after these worldly possessions. I lusted after this. God, my flesh has been in control of me. God, help me. See, church, I don't want us, last week I talked about getting in the rut. I don't want us to get in a rut of life where we're just going through the motions of Christianity, tithing and doing all the right things, and we lose sight of the relationship, and we lose sight of the we need Jesus each and every day of our lives. And have you come to the point where you were, it says, ashamed and humiliated? So I repented. I repented. We don't talk about repentance that much these days. We don't talk about the need for repentance. Romans 3:9 says, what shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. In the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Y'all, I felt so strongly about preaching this message because I feel like there's people filling our churches today that have never looked at themselves as being this person. There's no fear of God. There's just kind of a transition from going to the bars to going to church. You've just started hanging out with different people, but there's never been the realization of repentance. There's never been the realization of, I'm a sinner lost and I need a Savior. Job 13:23 says, how many are my iniquities and sin? Make known to me my rebellion and my sin. Do we ever stop and say, God, make known to me my rebellion and sin? God, help me with this. Make known to me where I'm missing the mark. God, help me with this. Each and every day, show me. Psalms 32:1-7 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. I hope that's who I'm talking to this morning. I hope that's you who's confessed your sin and repented. Verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Can I tell you something? If you're living in sin, if you're living unrepented, if you've never come to a place of repentance in your life, you're wasting away. Have any of you ever been, since you've been saved, had something in your life that shouldn't have been there? Do you not feel like you're just miserable and your bones are wasting away? I can relate to that. Verse 4 says, for day after day your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Acknowledgement of sin. Acknowledgement of my iniquity. And then He forgave. Then He forgave. But see, in our society, in the way things are with self-esteem and just give praise and just pat them on the back and it's okay. We don't want to confront wrongdoing, and we get to a point that we don't even see wrongdoing in our lives anymore. Verse 6 says, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from my trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. Church, we have a God that's so big. And He wants to be our protection. He wants to be our guide. Are we willing to allow Him to take control of our lives? Are we willing to confess our sins? Are we really willing to see our need for our Savior in our society today? Revelation 3:17 says, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. Is that not so many today? I do not need a thing. I'm rich. I'm doing fine. My home's in order. I've got two kids and a dog and I'm paying all my bills and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you listening this morning, church? I so bad. as Peter says with many words, he urged them. I'm urging you this morning to examine your life, to examine your ways. How is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about coming to church. Many of you that I see here today, you're faithful. You're here every week, and I'm so thankful for that. But this isn't it. This isn't it. It's a walk every day with the Lord. Are we saying, I'm okay, I'm good, but the Holy Spirit is really saying, you're wretched, you're pitiful, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. You're just going through the motions. You're like that Pharisee saying, I'm not as bad as this guy. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like him. And we tithe and we do our churchy things. But inside in our heart, there's that hidden iniquity. There's that hidden sin. And we're really not at rest in our spirit. He's saying this morning, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. I'm knocking. Are you going to be prideful? Are you going to say, I'm okay? You know, I don't remember when it was. I took Hayden and Keaton both, I think, to Greenwood First Baptist. Jason and them invited us for this big youth rally they were having. And we'd went and they were baptizing people. And there was a man that was late 50s, early 60s, had been a deacon or elder, I don't know what they call him at there, for 30-something years, and he came to the realization that he had never really, really accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The courage of that man, after being a leader in that church for that many years, to stand up and say, I was just going through the motions. And he got baptized. There was a line of all these kids and these youth. And then one guy in his 60s up there saying, I'm an elder, I'm a deacon, and I missed it. I missed it. I'm thankful for that, because now he's going to be in heaven. He's not headed down the wrong path anymore. And there's so many today. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Acts 3:19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I love how you go from brokenness. You go from brokenness to refreshing. See, in our lives, there has to be a point of that brokenness. There has to be the point of saying, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And then times of refreshing come. That's what the Bible says. Maybe this morning you don't even realize you're broken, but you are. If you've never repented, if you've never came to the realization that you're a sinner, lost, headed for hell, you confess, you turn from your sins, you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you, and then times of refreshing will come. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, I believe so many today, they don't want to repent. They don't want to live for Jesus because they say it's just too much of a burden. It's just too hard. But here, the Bible says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The times of refreshing will come if you recognize your sin. You ask for forgiveness and you allow Jesus to have your life. You allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take control. And we don't put on this act like everything's okay. I wish I had the song and I hadn't heard it in years, but you guys, probably half of you would get up and leave if I started playing it. But it's a Christian rock song. And I used to listen to a lot of Christian rock, but the singer is saying, I'm not all right. I'm not all right. I'm broken inside. It's okay to not be all right. It's okay to be broken inside. That might be the very point that the Lord wants you. He says, If you are my children, I discipline you. And that might be the very place that He wants you to not be okay. It's okay to say I'm not okay. It's okay to say I'm not all right. And to have that brokenness. But then you cry out to Jesus. And He will lift you up. And times of refreshing will come. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not a burden anymore to live for Jesus. Because He loves us and He wants the best for our lives. Psalms 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." You know, I guess the best thing that I can relate this to is we've been looking to buy a car. And I've been looking for 4 or 5 months to buy a car. And I read consumer reports. I Googled and I researched and I researched and seen what's the best value, what's the best price. Why? Because buying a car is a big deal to me. And it's a lot of money. And so I wanted to make sure that I was getting exactly what I was paying for. I wanted to make sure that I did my research to know that when I finally bought a car, I could feel confident, I could feel comfortable. I prayed about it, but I really did a lot of research because I didn't want to just go blow money. Can I tell you something? Many of us, we take more time researching buying a car, researching buying a home, researching this or researching that. And we never take the time to research right here. Saying, God, search me. Search me. Is there anything in me that should not be in me? Is there any offensive way? You know, amazing thing happens when you become a Christian. Things that used to didn't bother you, bother you. The closer you walk with God, the more He changes your life. You know, there was a moment in my life when I asked God to forgive me. I repented and I cried out in my bedroom. I just shared that with you. But since I've been walking with the Lord since then, there's things that man in 1996, 97, 97 still lived in that the man today says, no. Because God's still searching my heart. God's still searching my life. He's still transforming me. And church, oh Lord, help me. We can't be the same day after day, year after year. There's a growing process. And there's a growing closer to the Lord. And we better be really, really careful that we've not put on blinders and that we've not think that we've arrived and we've not got this self-righteous attitude and saying, I don't need any more. And there's a big, what's the big plank hanging out of our eye? We see the splinter, the sin in someone else's life while we've got a big plank hanging out our own. And I just challenge you today. If you have never come to a point in your life that you felt that conviction, that you felt that tug in your heart, that you felt that brokenness, that you needed a Savior. Today's the day. Today's the day that you can cry out and Jesus is there. And if you've been walking with the Lord for years and years and years, praise God. Praise God. But don't stop examining your lives. Don't stop seeking the Lord. Don't stop and say, I've arrived. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to get better. Continue to seek His righteousness. His cleansing. God, how would You transform me? How would You have me grow? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. I hope and I pray that I will see every one of you in heaven. And that we can rejoice when we get there. But I'm not going to be standing there with you, and you're not going to be standing there with me. It's going to be you and the Lord. Will we be able to say, Father, I allowed you into my life. I allowed you to lead me. And not got the self-righteousness of, well, I'm just going through the motions and I'm doing everything right. No, it's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit coming and living in us. And it's having that relationship. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you would truly search my heart and that you'd search every heart in here, Lord. And if there's any offensive way in any one of us, Lord, that you'd bring it to mind right now, that we would confess it as sin, that we would repent, that we would turn from it. Lord, that you would truly lead each and every one of us in the way of everlasting. Father, I pray that pride, that arrogance, Lord, a worry that it's just too hard, Lord, that none of those things would stop anyone in here, Lord, from turning their lives over to you completely. Lord, that you would have every area of our lives, that there would be nothing that we would hold back. Lord, we know from your word that we can hide nothing, that nothing is hidden from your sight. And Father, if there's anyone living with hidden sin right now, may we confess it. May we repent of it. Lord, may you grant us freedom from that as we turn our lives over to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work on us. Work on every heart in here this morning. Father, have your way now. Have your way. Lead us in the way of everlasting. In Jesus' mighty name. If you all need prayer for anything this morning, if you just need to spend some time alone with the Lord, it's okay to not be all right. It's okay to come to these altars and allow Jesus to meet those needs. Whatever it is, it's okay. Don't miss this opportunity this morning to get your life right with our Lord and Savior. I was just thinking, you know, my FedEx truck has this thing in it. If I'm getting too close to somebody, it starts beeping if you're tailgating. And it has a system that you can set the cruise, and it backs you off and keeps you at a safe following distance on the interstate. And the beeping and everything really bugs me. I don't like it. And last week, my truck was in the shop, and I had to drive a brand new truck, and that thing beeped at everything. I was going through a school zone, and there wasn't any kids there, so you know you slow down to 25 if there's kids there, and this thing even read the speed limit that it was supposed to be 25 miles an hour, and it started beep 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 beep, and it was just going nuts on me, and I said, I never want a new truck. It drove me crazy. All the beeps and warnings and everything else. But as you think about that in a spiritual sense, okay, when I first asked Jesus into my life and I first repented of my sins, and there was little warnings. Beep, beep. You're going down the wrong path. But the more that my relationship has grown with the Lord, I've got the updated version in my life now. And just like that truck was beeping at the 25 mile an hour zone, I've got the updated version now that hopefully before I even sin, that Holy Spirit's going, beep, beep, beep. Stop, Pete. Don't do that. Don't go down that path. Do I always trust? No. Y'all, I'm still learning. Yesterday, the Lord told me to tell Hayden something, and I didn't. Oh, Pete, you're just being a dad. And so instead of just telling Hayden what I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I just brought it up in general conversation with Hayden and Crystal, talking about a verse in the Bible and everything. And just kind of later that day, a realization came. Hayden needed that verse specifically. That, within hours. And I stopped and I said, Hayden, that verse was meant for you this morning, but I was scared to say it. Y'all, God wants to be so much a part of our life. And He wants to give us that warning, that mitigation of beep, 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 don't. Don't go down that path. Don't do this. Listen. And just like a couple weeks ago when I said that at work that I shouldn't have said, and immediately the conviction came, and immediately I asked God to forgive me. I didn't wait till Sunday morning. I didn't wait till I had a quiet moment in my closet. Or I just said, God, forgive me. Why did I say that? And you learn from that, and you grow from that. And that should be our everyday walk with the Lord. You blew it today, ask Him to forgive you. We're going to do better tomorrow. But we're going to strengthen ourselves by prayer, by reading His Word, by listening and obeying to the Holy Spirit. And then we'll be led in the way of everlasting. And we're going to go into heaven, and it's just going to be a transition from everyday life here, everyday life there, because that relationship is so real. That knowing the Lord is so real. Repent. Ask the Lord to forgive you, and He's willing. Don't miss your opportunity. Bible study tonight, 6:30. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.